Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you. It is 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. It is the beginning of a new week of talking politics over a cup of coffee. With the goal that, well, as we do that, we discover... well, ways that you can influence your world, that you can persuade the persuadables to move towards a more conservative political viewpoint, which hopefully gets to how they vote and how they're active. Two main things we want to talk about today. One of them driven from an email from a listener. And it's easy to send me emails, by the way. It's Jeff@1220.am. Jeff@1220.am. Or if you want to call, of course, it's easy also. You pick up the phone, 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Dr. Martin Luther King, as you know, is remembered today as a national holiday. So let me pose this question to you. What would American race relations be like today if Dr. King were still alive? Now, just contemplate that for a moment. We know he was a flawed human being, and that's the essence of this email from one of our listeners. Was he a communist? Did he have lots of extramarital affairs? Did he plagiarize his doctoral thesis, Boston University? Apparently did, according to numerous stories out there. You can find all of this stuff if you just Google it up. Did the FBI have it in for him? Here's what's interesting, by the way, all of these FBI recordings. Because he was bugged. J. Edgar Hoover bugged him. Did all of these FBI recordings, isn't it interesting? You can read summaries of them, apparently. This historian has, and he's been roundly, the Washington Post story that I'm reading here. Historians attack David Garrell's MLK allegations, claiming that FBI files that Martin Luther King Jr. was a wholehearted communist. Really? Was he? What was it that he said that was communistic? How would America be different today if he had lived? Just curious. Also, in Virginia today, there's supposedly going to be this massive Second Amendment rally in favor of the Second Amendment. Of course, you know, the governor there, who's the guy who thinks it's okay to kill children outside the womb. Yeah, that governor. He bans guns. The courts allow him to ban guns on the Capitol grounds. Is the issue of, there is a whole, since the Democrats got control of the entire legislature, is there a, and have introduced a slew, a wish list of gun bills, anti-Second Amendment bills, some of which have been passed in Oregon already, our red flag law that was passed at the behest of my friend, Brian Boquist. Are those gun bills in a place like Virginia, which has never really had restrictions before, are those gun bills going to be game changers politically? Virginia is not Oregon, folks. Now, Oregon, in my view, is a lot more purple than what it is blue, to be quite honest with you. And I think there's a number of indicators of exactly why, including, I think, the pushback you're going to see to a story that's Oregon-based here. And this is the Speaker of the House in Oregon, Tina Kotek. She wants to expand the tolling plan. Remember, these are roads we've already built and paid for. Now they want to toll them, not to expand motor vehicle capacity, as you know. No. But because of climate change, we've got to force more people onto public transportation. We've got to have more light rail because it is used so massively, isn't it? Right. No, they want to expand the tolling plan to I-205 and Interstate 5 at Wilsonville. Now, you knew this was going to happen, didn't you? That they were, this is the classic camel with the nose under the tent. And it is the same nose under the tent argument that worries so many people. That is this story about the Oregon climate bill. This is cap and tax, folks, cap and tax scam. Well, Governor Brown said on Friday, of course, after the show was off the air, not that that would matter any, but it's to note on Friday that passing this legislation aimed at stemming global warming is a priority in the short session. Now, we've covered the lies that are in this thing, one of them being that it is going to actually do anything to stop global warming. Wait a second. I thought it was climate change. No. It's back to global warming. This is an AP story. So, of course, I don't know that you can. Maybe you can, but I don't know that you can work for the AP and not be a leftist. I guess maybe you could, but, you know, theoretically. So even the leftists are going back to the same old discredited, tired old saw of global warming. Yeah, the Earth has always had climate change. Remember when global warming failed, they had to go to climate change? Well, anyway, what's going to happen here with this thing is it is the camel with the nose under the tent, just like it is with this story about tolling. Now, okay, so you kind of get that, right? It leads us back to gun bills, tolling. Now, the problem with the bill, and some Republicans voted for the Transportation Committee Commission, actually the big transportation bill that allows tolling, okay? Because Republicans can be bought off, and many of them think that being Democrat light is how you get reelected in swing districts. The Transportation Commission is going to decide this, folks. Now, who appoints the Transportation Commission? Kate Brown. How do you think that's going to work out? No, they want to expand this. Remember, tolling was just going to be on some Portland streets and just the heavy areas around Portland. And Tina is saying, well, because the fact that it looks like the Rose Quarter fix is going to be double expensive. And, of course, there's no comment from her point. No comment from her at all about how you not make it so expensive. No. You wouldn't dare say that. You got to say we've got to have more money. And that's what she's saying in this Portland Tribune story. So now we're going to basically toll. And this is what will happen. They're going to toll everything around Portland. So let me ask you this. If it's good for Portland, why isn't it good for the rest of the state? What's to stop, again, using the argument that we have to try to do something to relieve congestion? Well, in my lightning quick mind, wouldn't that mean, you know, building some more roads? No, they're not going to build any more roads, folks. They're going to force us, those of us who transit through the Portland metro area, they're going to force us to pay tolls, not to make our commute or our transit of the Portland metro area any easier, because they're not, because it isn't going to add capacity. No, they're going to do it so that to force more of the Portland metro area people onto light rail, onto buses, onto public transportation. So much for liberty, right? So if you can expand, again, the camel with the nose under the tent, what happens when the camel stands up? Its nose lifts, and it basically upends the tent. That's exactly what they're going to do here. And not just on this issue. But if tolling, and I can tell you from personal experience, tolling is a big deal to women in the Portland metro area. Moms who are trying to get to soccer practice or pick up working mothers trying to pick up their kids after work. Doesn't work too well using transportation, does it? Public transportation. Now, if you're engaging in driving your own car as a single mom going to pick up your kids, or maybe a married mom trying to pick up your kids, and you got to pay tolls, it really sticks in their craw. That's what our polling prior to the last governor's election in 2018, that's what it found. Women don't like the idea of paying for roads and the inconvenience of it, stopping in a toll booth, or frankly, electronic tolling. They don't like the idea of paying more for roads they've already paid for. So if that's true in liberal Portland metro area, what about the rest of the state? Because you know, again, it's the camel with the nose under the tent. You know that if we have to have more money for Portland area road fixes because they're incredibly expensive, because and we're not going to add capacity. We got to have more money for all of this, and you can't just tax the people in Portland enough for it. What do you want to bet? They start tolling other roads, like, say, Interstate 5. How would you like to pay a toll from, say, Salem to Portland? You see, after they toll all of the freeways and the major arterial roads around Portland, it still won't be enough, will it? Just like there's never enough money to fix climate change issues. So we've got to engage in cap and tax. Now, the lie, of course, is that anything that we do in Oregon is going to make any difference. By the way, there was an interesting graphic I saw over the weekend from a former staffer for the Oregon Republicans in the Senate. And it's a chart released by, I think it was the Oregon Department of Energy. And it's about CO2 emissions and so forth, how they've gone up and they've gone down and then they've come back up. And what's fascinating is that, remember, with cap and tax, you're trying to, the goal is to get CO2 reductions so low that they're below the 1990 level. The interesting graphic is that if you eliminated almost all CO2, if you eliminated from rural areas, from industrial, from farming, from transportation, you still wouldn't get below the 1990 level. Wow. All of this means the camel with the nose under the tent. Where does that lead us? Is it a game changer? Back in a moment with your phone calls.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. We're going to go right to the phones in just a moment. I want to remind you that if you haven't tried CBD, you should. Because you know what? It works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. And I think you ought to buy your CBD from the people I buy mine from. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Salem, right on South Commercial, right next to Safeway. Can't miss it. They sell Canna Shield. which is the highest of quality of products, because not only is it everything they say it is in terms of you actually get what they say you're buying, but it's made in Oregon. It's from Oregon-grown CBD, CannaShield. Check it out on their website, VimSalem, V-I-M, VimSalem.com, VimSalem.com. Wolfie sent me an email about Martin Luther King, because we're talking about that, and we're talking about this Virginia gun rally. Can the massive amount of bills that the Democrats who have taken over the legislature, they're flooding the zone with gun takeaway bills, gun theft, anti-Second Amendment bills, whatever you want to call them. Is all of that going to be a game changer in Virginia politics, which has trended purple? Used to be red. Now it's purple. Could this be a game changer there? Could it be a game changer all across the country in this presidential election coming up? Could it drive more people in the middle over to our side? Regarding Martin Luther King's birthday, the national holiday we celebrate today, and we're going to talk to a great black conservative about that in a moment because Ron's on the line. But here's the Wolfie email. The question is, stolen legacy or sacred cows exposed? He writes, today's the day when we exalt a plagiarist above the original authors of the many works plagiarized from when we listen to his plagiarized I Have a Dream speech, when we bestow the title doctor upon one whose doctorate was removed when the truth of his plagiarized doctoral thesis came to light, when we exalt a communist above a patriot, when we exalt an adulterer above those who have remained faithful to their marriage vows. Yes, what a wonderful example for black youth to follow. And we ask how we have sunken to the moral and cultural level we have. We need not look far from one of the primary answers. So I'm asking the question, how would race relations in America be like? What would they be like today if Dr. King had lived? Was he flawed? Yeah, it is. There's clear that he plagiarized many portions, as I've researched it, of his doctoral thesis. His Washington Post article about that. There's a whole bunch of them. His doctorate, however, was not removed by Boston University. Wolfie's wrong about that. The FBI claims he was a communist. Claims he had extramarital affairs. And they have tapes to prove it. Don't you find it interesting that those tapes are going to remain hidden under court order until 2027? Don't you find that interesting? Why would they do that? So, is this flawed human being someone that is an example? Because if he is, if the things that he actually preached and said, which are the things that really have made the, well, I think, not the myth of his legacy, but actually talked about loving other people and people working together. Are those things that would have made a difference in America with race relations, even if he were alive today? Let's go talk to Ron. Ron, what do you think? Good morning, friend.
Hello, I got you. I think that personally, the Democrat Party, just like now, just like before, if you get in the way and you step out of line, they'll try to bury you. They'll use the Al Sharptons. They'll use to go through the infiltrate the Great Society mentality. I don't think that there's some of it. I think Dr. King, Reverend King, believed in, and there's some of it that you know, he might have plagiarized, might have that. But let's look at the source. You have the deep state then under Alan Dulles, Bush and the CIA. You also had J. Edgar Hoover, who was extorting Dan Kennedy to get his way. So, you know, if we're going to look back in that time period, Mr. Whoever that said all that stuff, then the Democrat Party was on the road to communism from the beginning, middle, and currently that's what we're seeing. Look at the cities. Look at the towns after the Great Society, 40, 50, almost 60 years later. The Oregon, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Illinois especially, that septic tank state, minus three quarters, the good part of the state. What do they all got in common?
even in California, they want to control you. They want to tell you what you can drive. They want to tell you how to walk. If you don't toe the line, just like maybe Malcolm X seen that same time period, you might have your own people rub yourself out because you're not giving them what they want.
So let me ask you something, Ron.
If Reverend King was going to live in this time period, I don't think he would have had a fair chance of his own black community. I'll be honest with you. Because we learned how to use the Al Sharptons, the Maxine Waters, and all those other little greedy little symptoms of these septic cities and states. And they would set black, I believe they would have probably set black relations backwards even further if it wasn't for the comments of Reverend King.
So do you think that he would be a Republican or a Democrat today?
He was a Republican then. I think the only reason he voted for Democrat because Kennedy was probably more of a moderate, probably a good conservative on his ideologies. He cut taxes. He encouraged the bill and everything else. Under Johnson, after Kennedy proclaimed that he carried the Kennedy torch, keep this in mind, the Civil Rights Act was enacted by Republicans early as 1934 under which administration? Oh, the Franklin Roosevelt administration, you know, the one, if it wasn't for his wife, the Tuskegee Airmen would never came across and been existed. And European war would have probably lasted with the 6% return rate of our bombers. They don't talk about that, do they? No. They don't talk about under Eisenhower administration, Johnson tempted his Senate Majority Leader to kill the Civil Rights Act of the 50s on three different occasions. But they don't teach that in schools or talk about that, do they? No. Because it doesn't fit their agenda. Let's keep everybody.
You're right.
Watch the bomb, watch the mountain ball. If you watch anything else, we're going to cut your nose. God bless you.
God bless you, my friend. That's Ron's opinion about Martin Luther King today. What do you think? How would things in America be different if he had lived? Back in a moment, 6:30. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. 24 minutes of top of the hour. If I could talk this morning for some reason. Great to have you with us as we begin a new week. It is Martin Luther King Day. I'm asking you this question on Political Coffee because we're talking about that issue and also supposedly the overwhelming huge gun rights rally, pro Second Amendment rally in Virginia today. Could it be a game changer in Virginia politics? Because the Democrats have flooded the zone in the legislature with all kinds of restrictive infringement bills. Could it be a game changer in a place like Virginia, which has never had the kind of assault on the Second Amendment the way we have fought it for a long time here in Oregon? We're going to talk about that. Could it be a game changer? If it is in Virginia, could it be a game changer all across the country in the presidential election? Also, with regard to Martin Luther King, here's the question we're asking. If he had lived, what would the state of race relations be like in America today? Now, Ron just said he was a Republican. That's what his niece, Dr. Alveda King, there's a video of her saying, she was on Fox this morning early. That's what she said. She said both he and her father, his brother, were Republicans. Wouldn't she kind of know that? But yet Snopes which has long been discredited itself. No, that's been discredited. He was never a Republican. He was critical of both of the Republicans and the Democrats. Really? Okay. With good reason. I mean, a lot of us are. But to larger measure, regarding the email that I read to you from Wolfie, that he was a plagiarist and a communist and a womanizer outside of marriage. Does all of that mean that the work that he did is not valid? You know, the voter fraud thing, and by the way, thanks to Avis for sending me a voter fraud email, because that's one of the things that is used to discredit him being a Republican, is that, well, he would have never stood for the voter suppression that Republicans demand, meaning actually showing identification when you show up to vote at the polls. Avis sent me these series of emails about voter fraud and how so many places in America are being forced to clean up their voter rolls because, hey, lots of dead people appear to be voting across the country these days. So would Dr. King have influenced politics in America differently? Would racism, would race relations be what they are today? I mean, would Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have become the race baiters, the shakedown artists that they are, if he had been alive? Would he have been preaching love? Would he have stood for American values as we traditionally know them? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Just before we go to our next caller, I also want to remind you, you know, if you want to do something really special for somebody, like maybe their birthday coming up, why don't you buy them a night or a day out on the town in a limousine? And you can do that with Diamond Royalty Rides. They're a great Salem-based company. You can check out their limousines. You can even reserve one on the website, their website, online. If you go to DiamondRoyaltyRides.com, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Make somebody feel really special. Buy them a limousine ride. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Art. Art, good morning. What say you this day?
Boy, Wolfie's got a lot of anger there, that's for sure, as far as Martin Luther King goes. To answer your question, Jeff, I do believe that it would be different, because I do not believe that Martin Luther King would have put up with all the anti-Semitism towards the Jews and stuff like that occurs in the black community now. I don't think he would have stood for it. I do believe what he said he believed, but of course he was a human being just like all the rest of us, you know, had his faults, but he definitely did want to make positive changes through peaceful measures, and therefore he was a great man, Jeff. And you look at the three individuals who basically took over the black side of that after King was assassinated, was Sharpton, Jackson, and Lewis, and they fuel racism right now, especially, I believe, in the Jewish community, but, you know, because they embrace Farrakhan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you know the history, Jeff. You were around just like I was. And so I do believe that we would be in a better place. And I also believe that the Democratic Party would not
probably be pushing racism as much as they are not fueling the fire. So I do think we would have been better off, but we don't know what God's intentions were. But I see the whole forest, and Martin Luther King was a great man. He did have his faults, but so does everybody else. So I'm not going to cast stones because, quite frankly, I'm not perfect, and no man is. But King did start a good movement, and when he was assassinated, it kind of went a little backwards.
Thank you, my friend. I would agree. I think he was still, even though he was a flawed human being, still a great man. Art, thank you. I appreciate your comments today. Because the I Have a Dream speech, in it are those famous lines that my children would be judged not by their color, but by the content of their character. How can you argue with that? Joel Pollack wrote a piece in Breitbart today. You can read it if you go to Breitbart. And he quotes from King's letter when he was in the Birmingham jail. It's called Letter from Birmingham Jail. And he said this. And by the way, King went after the white moderates who said were, quote, more in this letter, that are more devoted to order than justice. Interesting. But even more importantly, he said these words, quote, we will reach the goal of freedom in Birmingham and all over the nation because the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up with the destiny of America. Unquote. I have to tell you, that doesn't sound like a communist to me. You know, if you're going to judge people by the content of their character, yeah. I mean, you can say, remember, I don't like the phrase, do as I say, not as I do. So if Dr. King talked about judging people by the content of his character, and then he stepped outside of the boundaries of marriage to be an adulterer, that is exactly what I don't like. Do as I say, not as I do. But yet, how can you disagree with what he said? You can't. Because it's right to judge people by their character, not by how they look, whether you're fat or you're slim, or you speak really well or you don't speak well, where you're smarter than other people, or that you're really good looking or kind of plain and homely. You should be judged by the content of your character. I agree with that totally. You know, there's been some pretty famous preachers, by the way, who've had adulterous affairs also and have been restored. Jimmy Swaggart among them, very high profile. So just because, you don't nullify all of the great work Jimmy Swaggart did because he had flawed character and sinned. We are all that way to some extent. None of us are perfect. I would hope that you would judge my life by the good things that I've done, not by the flaws of my character, because I'm not perfect either. When we come back, more of your thoughts on all of this. What would America be like today in race relations had Dr. King lived? And is this Virginia gun rally today, is it going to make a difference in Virginia? Could it make a difference all over the country? Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, last segment for today. In a moment, we're going to chat with Rich. I want to remind you that there is a new sponsor to the show, Righteous Renovations LLC. Go to their website, righteousrenovations.com. This is Eric Azor's construction and remodeling company. He specializes in decks, bathroom, kitchen remodels. He's an honest guy. Now, you got to think about that. Here's a guy who's a person of faith. He's willing to put in his name the word righteous. Now, we've just talked about all of us being flawed human beings. That's really putting yourself out there. I mean, he's setting a standard he's got to live up to. Now, that ought to tell you something about his character. Maybe it ought to give you, well, pause to think about if you need some renovation work done, a deck put on, kitchen remodeled, whatever. Maybe you ought to talk to him. I think you should. Why don't you give him a call? Eric Azor, 503-341-3816. Let me give it to you again. 503-341-3816. Go to his website, righteousrenovations.com. Righteousrenovations.com. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning. How are you? What say you this fine day?
I'd say the Democrat Socialist Party and Obama did more to destroy race relations with every race than anything that's happened. I think that if Reverend King had been around, we'd been a lot better off. The other thing, too, is that it's odd that the FBI doesn't want to open up the paperwork and the files. Is that because they're scared of us people finding out just how bad they flubbed things up or lied? Kind of like the Las Vegas shooting. Why is that such a problem? And then the other thing, too, is on gun control. All the socialists do is come out with outlandish stuff, and they say, well, we will concede to this if you'll do this. It's just a bargaining chip to keep gnawing away at us all the time.
So the question I would have is, I mean, you're right about why is it that the FBI is holding this stuff till 2027? Why is it we're not hearing anything more about the Las Vegas shooting? So I guess after what we've learned about the soft coup against Trump, can you believe the FBI at all anymore, Rich?
No.
I think that's
simple.
Sad.
It's just like, how much can you believe of the news media? How much can you believe of the shooting of Finicum? I mean, where do you want to start? They're just not believable. They're not trustworthy. They have to prove they're trustworthy by indicting the right heavy-handed people like the Clintons and Soros. If they don't start doing something like that, their reputation is as they're just bought off. Just you need to have the menu so you know how to buy them off.
Well, sadly, I have to agree with you. I mean, if we don't see some true accountability for the people who have broken the law so that we don't have two systems of justice. Okay? And that's what we've got right now. And somebody needs to go to jail. Somebody needs to be prosecuted. I don't know who it is, but if that doesn't happen, well, you can't trust anybody.
It's just like here, when is the state police going to go after some of our politicians, you know, and some of the other skullduggery that goes on? Why is it always brushed under the table?
How true. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate your call. By the way, you know, we wouldn't know about some of the skullduggery going on in state government if it weren't for some state employees that have let us know of it, let the cat out, real whistleblowers, except we know who they are, rather than this fraud and charade going on in Washington, D.C. with the Trump impeachment trial. By the way, tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit more about that because that thing gets underway in D.C. There is this kill switch that Mitch McConnell has put in the rules. The rules that are going to be adopted, I think, today on how the impeachment trial is going to go forth in the Senate. One of them is if the Democrats engage in shenanigans, the president's legal counsel will have the ability to move for a dismissal vote. The supposed kill switch. Believe me, I'm sure Democrats have thought about that and found a way around it. You know, it's all about, folks, I forget who it was that I was watching, but, you know, the reality is it's all about trying to take back the U.S. Senate. I think the Democrats have resigned themselves that they are going to lose the presidential election to Trump, no matter what. So the best thing they can hope for is to take back the Senate, to keep the House in Nancy Pelosi's hand, take back the Senate, and stop any more of Trump's constitutional conservatives being appointed to the bench, because they will all be stopped immediately for the last 4 years of Trump's presidency. That's my prediction to you. If Chuck Schumer takes back the Senate, that's what this is all about. It's all about trying to damage Susan Collins and the swing Republican senators up for re-election. That's what it's all about. I think that's very plausible. By the way, James sent me a great email about the Virginia. All eyes are on Virginia. He writes, do you ever get tired of this stuff? The Truth About Guns is a website, has a picture of the chain link fence surrounding the Capitol Mall in Virginia. Trump's Second Amendment support for the Virginia concealed rally is being seen as a bit too little, a bit too late. He writes, the trial in the Senate will be fun, don't you think? The word that came up for all this mass hysteria is orchestrated. I find that very appropriate. It's all as predictable as a Hallmark Channel romance comedy. How true that is. Don't you love those Hallmark Channel? you know exactly what they're going to do. So Wolfie followed up with another email about Dr. King and supposedly all the evidence that FBI has on him. And it could be. But the reality is this. He still stood for things that I think most of us believe are right today. That you don't judge people based on their color or, frankly, their status. We do as human beings. Doesn't make it right. Slavery wasn't right in the Bible. It wasn't right in America. Neither is discriminating against people because of their color. Now, it's what's in their heart and what comes out of their mouth that you judge people by. But even then, you have to be careful, right? Be careful judging other people. But we tend to, as human beings, and Dr. King even acknowledged that with his comments, that you judge people by the content of their character. So as flawed as a human being as I am, and I am, friends, I hope that my character and my life's story will be a positive thing in your life and in other people's lives. Thanks for joining us, friends. We're back tomorrow. I hope you are too. Be blessed. Make it a great day. See you then.